Hello.
Who is this?
This is the girl who doesn't learn at all.
I know you were wanting to tell me, and I was just like, just wait a minute and
Just
tell
wait.
everyone what has happened to you.
You remember when it was what our second episode?
It was the redneck martini
It's
with
the
Mountain
Redneck
Dew.
Martini, episode number two. You put the Mountain Dew and the vodka in your shaker.
I did.
Good bartender.
Many would say. Many would say.
And then the carbonated beverage should not be shook.
Yes.
Yeah, our drink tonight.
We learned from history, so we were not doomed to repeat it. Correct.
That is what some say. However, tonight I put the club soda into the shaker.
Oh no. Oh no.
And I started to shake, and then I had this amazing flashback
As it just spilt all over you.
as it just started like pushing against the lid of the shaker, and I was like, no.
I mean, look, the shaker, I feel like the shaker for people who don't make drinks is just really enticing. And like something, like you're just like, if I shake it, it's legit.
Right? It's well, and also I had to purchase this shaker fairly recently because I didn't have one. So I keep being excited about using it. And
My shaker's from Chili's, $7 margaritas. Where they're like, you can keep it. And I was
they're
like,
like,
okay.
you just keep that shaker. And
Yeah,
you're
you
like,
just keep that shaker.
yes.
So I did. And like eight years later.
I'm so excited about using it. And to be fair, the recipe said to put it in a shaker and shake it. Maybe it did not say
Vigorously.
the club soda part.
Yeah, I stirred mine because I did learn my
Because you
lesson
did learn.
as I smelled like Mountain Dew for the whole next day that I was just like, maybe not for this.
Well, hey, welcome to Theology on the Rocks, where we don't learn our lessons well.
Where we lecture you about history and then we don't actually pay attention to it.
Then we just do whatever we want.
And that's why our names are on the gate. So this week we are making a recommended drink.
Is.
What was it called again? The something it had
Ooh,
a
Easy
nice
Street. It's called Easy Street.
easy street. Yeah. It came to us from Chris.
Chris Rapko.
Yeah. He wrote in with some mighty fine suggest. Well, Chris, I'm going to be real frank with you here. Mighty fine suggestions for half of Theology on the Rocks.
Yes, Chris sent us gin drinks, which I love
I
and
typically
Leah avoids.
avoid at all costs. It just like tastes like nothing to me, and I struggle with it. And we've heard the story about Christy and her train lady who she had an evangelistic moment.
I converted to gin, and I am a gin snob through and through, but
Which
I'm
is fine.
also a gin lover, so
I mean, that's good for you. I'm happy for you. But I just think there was one time I went to Scotland and
there's one
went
time
to
I
eat.
went to Scotland.
This one time I went to Scotland, like
Just that
a
once.
bunch, just a bunch for 11 years. But this one time that I came back to visit and we were going to have a tasting, and then someone suggested gin,
I did.
and I was like,
She
I'm
shut it
not,
down so fast,
I was like,
y'all.
I'm not coming.
Leah was like, this is my party and we will not have gin.
Yeah, it was for me, and I
It
was
was for
like,
you, yes.
why would you pick this of all the?
I didn't know. I didn't know, but I'm
How
excited
did
that
you not? How did you not know?
we're
You just like you don't like me or something.
well,
I don't.
I don't think that conversation happened in our friendship yet. The
I
gin
don't think we had
conversation.
many conversations in our friendship at that stage. I'm not sure we were even friends at that
I
stage.
think that was like our second actual hangout, and it went
Yeah, I
splendidly,
mean,
as you can all tell.
oh my gosh, we're both delights.
Yeah. Everyone, when you come to Theology Beer Camp, which you can still register for and use our code, Please, Scott, please. Pod. But please. When you come and you hang out with us, you will also love us. And you'll say, yep, they are delights.
I've petitioned my friends in Nashville because I've discovered Nashville is almost directly in between Charlotte and Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so Music City, here I come. Not my favorite Tennessee city, I have to say. I'm sorry, all you Nashvillians out there.
What's your favorite Tennessee city?
I really like Memphis. I grew up around Chattanooga.
Yeah, that's fair. I haven't been to Memphis yet. That's on my list of places. I mean, I drove through it, but that doesn't really count. So
I like the mountains and stuff, but like I think, and Chattanooga is definitely a lot like cooler than it once was. Now it's all like kind of like Charlotte and Denver. It's like, we're gonna go bike riding and go climb a mountain and drink some craft beer. That sort of, we need to come up with a name for that. Like that whole like vibe.
Well, yeah, we need to come up with one that encompasses all the cities, because we usually call it Menver, but that really only applies to Denver.
Minnenuga.
But I did see this meme on one of the things on the internet that said that there's a difference between being outdoorsy and outsidey. You want to go hiking and stuff, but outsidey is like, I want to sit outside. And I was like, yes, this is me. I'm outsidey.
Oh yeah. I think I can be both. Like I did turn down a camping trip with my bestest friends from Charlotte this weekend, and they were like, you're sure, last chance. And I was just like, I was like, this was a girl who was like, I just wish I had friends like 2 years ago. And now I'm like, that's a firm no. It is a hell house outside.
It's way too hot. Also, though, do you know, I've never been camping in a hot place.
Don't do it.
When I go camping and immediately in my head, even in North Carolina, what I'm picturing is still the experiences that I've had, which is to freeze.
Well, you probably could get, because if you went to the mountains, you probably could get a little bit of both
if you wanted to. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we would do in Colorado, is we would hike in and then we would set up camp somewhere, and this is the thing, is that I think I love it every time I go, and I'm having just the greatest time, and then it's time to go to sleep and I get into my sleeping bag and I immediately hate everything that's happening because I am too cold.
Yeah, it's the sleeping element that gets me. And because I cherish sleep more than probably most humans in my life, I am like this fundamentally, because I also have fun. And then I realize that.
And then you hate it. And I don't recover. So then the next day, everyone's like, let's have breakfast. And I'm like, ready to.
You also get up really early, which is, and none of it. So they were like, we'll keep asking. I was like, okay, you just keep on asking.
But you keep asking, I'm gonna keep saying no.
I'm gonna say no every time.
But if you want to sit outside and have drinks with me, I am there every time, all day long.
And I like a hike. I'll go on a hike. Like, I mean, a North Carolina hike, not like a Colorado hike. And like, I will do like tubing and other, like, I like to do physical stuff. So I would say I'm somewhere in between.
You're somewhere in between. I will go on a stroll with you.
Yeah.
And if that stroll is like in a like nature place, that's fine.
Place, Christy. Can you please define for your listeners what a nature place?
Where it's like you're walking on dirt or something, not like a stroll around the neighborhood is what I mean.
So a nature place is outside.
Outside. Unless not on a sidewalk.
Right.
But like, again, born and bred Coloradan. So every time people are like, let's go for a hike, you have to have like actual hiking boots, and you have to leave at 2 a.m. because if you're too high on the mountain, you're going to die. And like, that's just not, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do the incline ever. The incline is just the stupidest thing in the world, Leah. It's a set of stairs that go up a mountain.
What? Why are there stairs?
Well, it used to be a cog railway or something. People do this incline and they like run it and shit. Like,
no,
it's the worst. Anyway, I don't want to do any of those things, but I'll go for a stroll in the nature?
Well, I mean, I'm in the Appalachian. Well, these mountains are, I guess, the Blue Ridge Mountains, technically. But I grew up in the Appalachian Mountains. And those mountains, there's not any stairs in them. I feel like it would be a general kind of a stroll. There's some inclines, but like generally speaking,
anything on water, I'm down for. If you want to do water activities, I'm there all day. Put me on a boat or a raft or a tube. I'm great.
Did I tell you I went tubing? My friend turned 50 and we went to a place called Lake Jocassee, which is a huge lake. I think it's in South Carolina, and it's like one of those man-made like electricity lakes.
Yes.
And I went tubing at 40 for the first time.
For the first time.
20 years. No, for like 20 years. And I was like, you know, this is going to be fine. Like, let me tell you.
It was not fine.
He was like, my friend was like, you need to put a life jacket on. And I was like, oh, no, I'm a really good swimmer. I'm good. He was like, no, just do this. Do me a solid. And I was like, okay, so this is a PSA, guys. Wear your life jacket.
Wear your life jacket.
Because yes. I swear, it threw me like a rag doll. Yeah. And I hit the water so hard, I thought I lost all my teeth.
Oh,
and
geez.
I thought I was going unconscious. And then I just floated to the top. Had no idea which way was the top, if not for the jacket.
Just let yourself float, yeah.
Yeah, and then he looked at me and was like, eh? And I was like, yeah. No, you were right.
God. Oh, my God. I mean, I haven't been tubing in quite a long time, so maybe I don't want to do it anymore. But
maybe don't pick it up when you're in your good ladder years.
I will also say that I'm actually not like I'm not gonna drown, but I'm not a great swimmer, so I try to avoid anything where like it's dependent on me getting from point A to point B.
We talked about that your skiing was my swimming. I'm like a little deer on skiing. I'm like imagine my legs going in directions they shouldn't.
Well, yeah, should we try this drink we've made?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should talk about we didn't talk at all about poop, so
we didn't. Oh, congratulations to us. All right, cheers.
Cheers.
See how it is. Mm. Oh.
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 It's very Jenny. It's very boozy.
It's very good. I like it.
Oh no!
I'm trying.
This one's a danger one. This is like the redneck martini, but good.
It is good. I'm trying to decide what I think about there's lemon you had to put in, and I will leave that out next time.
I think I mixed mine. If I just like saw myself, I think I mixed mine pretty well. But I think this is another issue I have with Jen, is that it doesn't taste like much because I got tankery, so I just got like bottom barrel stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste like anything, so you just drink it.
You do. It's a really
good thing. Is that the real, that's why you do it, I guess.
That's why you do it. It's so refreshing. It's like drinking a refreshing summer experience.
I'm going to add a little bit of lime to mine. I have some lime juice in here.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. I want the elderflower to be stronger. Next time, I will add more elderflower.
I'm not going to lie to you that my liquor store did not have elderflower.
Yeah, it was a shock that mine did because it was the last bottle and that man had to hunt it down for me.
I had to ask for it.
He was like, we might.
Yeah, my liquor store is not in like the best neighborhood, and the guy was like, "What? what do you want?" And I was like, and again, very southern, and I was like, "Elderflower liqueur." And he was like, "What?" And he goes, "Is that like a seltzer?" And I was like, "No, it's not."
Well, I do have these little elderflower lemonade cans that I bought.
Your posh drink.
Well, it's all about the gin, Leah. All of these things are to facilitate gin drinking, of which I have so many bottles of gin. It's actually kind of embarrassing, but
the lime adds a nice touch to it.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm happy with this. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, and thank you for listening and for passing it on. And yeah, this, I think I will download the app that was suggested because it sounds like it could be nice. I feel like I should sit outside for this
drink. I know. It does feel like an outside drink.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you in my armhole here. I'm gonna go outside.
Okay, while you're going outside, can I tell you a story? I got permission from the student to tell this story.
Yes, but can you tell me if the cicadas are just terribly overwhelming?
I'll tell you if we get a little too southern.
Okay. It's hotter than the devil's butthole. That's your theology for the day.
So my student told me today that her conspiracy theory that she believes is that...
I'm already upset.
And like I said, I told her I wouldn't use her name, but she gave me permission to share this story.
Okay.
She believes that the ocean is connected to space and that Antarctica is like a portal to space, and that's where the aliens are.
I have a lot of, I don't know where to start.
I have been excited to tell you this story all day long.
But also, like, can we just stop? The ocean is connected to space?
The ocean is connected to space, which I don't understand.
I guess maybe I could see that because it's a planet. So, like, you're in space. So, technically...
I mean, are we connected to space, then?
That's correct.
Like,
yeah,
we're in space currently.
Yeah, we're in space.
We're meaning by space.
Which, by the way, if you want to not have an existential crisis, don't think about the fact that we are hanging in space right now.
Oh, I know. Every now and then it occurs to me, and then I just want to start crying because space is so scary. But
space is so scary. We're just hanging there. So, okay, I'll give her that a little bit. But now, what's the other part?
Is the portal, because it's just a block of ice, is what she said, which is, I think, not true. I think there's...
What is a block of ice? Sorry, you can't... Broken.
Antarctica.
Oh, is a block of ice that's a portal to the aliens?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What was this in reference to?
I don't know. What were
you talking about?
It was before class. We were waiting for people were trickling in.
Mm.
And she volunteered this information, and I said I was okay as long as she knew that it wasn't real.
I don't even know what part. I wouldn't feel confident saying aliens. You know, the part that would get me the most is that Antarctica is the portal to the aliens.
Yeah, that's the part that I kept thinking, I don't understand how this is working.
Although, have you seen The Thing? Maybe she watched The Thing.
Maybe.
I've never seen
The Thing, so.
Sure, this is not spoilers if you want to watch it, because I there's something like in Antarctica. I can't remember if it was aliens or like a monster or something. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. It was something bad
in Antarctica.
But they were doing like I think it was Antarctica or it was the North Pole. But either way, it was very cold. And they did like an expedition, and then like hijinks ensued, except that it was a horror film. So like,
I was laughing so hard, and she said, are you going to tell people this? And I was like, yes. And she goes, that's okay. I'm okay with you telling people this. I said, thank you.
I mean,
because it's going to happen. What is,
you can't really have a conspiracy theory and keep it a secret.
No, you have to share it. I did also ask her if she thinks that the penguins are the aliens, and they're just like,
Was she like, don't be ridiculous?
No, she was like, maybe, because she thinks that penguins are menaces to society.
What? They really are not. They're not.
I know, I was dying. It was just the best. And then I had to start talking about...
Was she high or like on drugs? Or like, because this feels like a conversation we would have at like AAR or beer camp.
Yes, it does. It feels like a late night, we've had a lot of drinks kind of conversation.
Where we'd be like, Christy, guess what?
Guess what I believe.
And the oceans touch space, technically.
I want to tell you that sometimes, and you know this, but sometimes students share things with you and you're like, this is why I do this job. People think it's because we get like some kind of deep satisfaction out of them learning great theological truths, but really it's because I want to hear as many stories as I can.
my first It was not my first class that I taught, but it was like when I was still like a postdoc, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say where I was for fear of repercussions, but because I had a couple of those positions. But anyway, so but I was talking about like, for some reason, you know how when you do religion, they'll like stick you in like a philosophy tutorial or something, and like, yes. So I had to read like
all these people. What we do. Yeah.
Who knows what we do? And I had to read, it was a tutorial because I was a baby. But so there was this student, and we were talking about like mortality. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, if you really want to like think about your like mortality, just say your name over and over again in a mirror. And it just like, and everyone looked at me and I was like, just do it. Just go home and do it. And just say your name over and over, and then like look at your face. And this girl, this is a true story, got up out of her chair, and she was probably like 20, walked to the window and opened it, because you know, the place I'm talking is uh-huh. It's a free for all.
It is.
Opened the window and started to climb out.
Oh no.
Now, listeners, please keep in mind, I myself was only probably like 27 at this point.
Yeah.
And also, we were on the first floor, ground floor for you, yeah. UK people.
Yeah.
So she wasn't going to die, but she was leaving through, and there was a door. She could have left through the door, but she opened that window and she stuck her leg out. And I was like, now here's the deal. You would have had a tumble. You might have broken something. You're like definitely not gonna die.
No.
But like,
not a great plan.
It's not a great plan.
Yeah.
So I went to grab her, and she, and there was another like teaching assistant, that was another PhD student, that was like, "You're not allowed to touch students." And I was like, and I looked, and it was an English guy, and I was like, "She's climbing out the window." I was like, I think that's fine.
I think I can grab her.
I think I'm going to take that risk.
Oh,
so no. I grabbed her ass and pulled her back through that window. And she just kept saying, like, not hysterically, but just like the word no over and over again. Just like, and I don't know if it was no to what I had said, no to what I was doing, but she just was like, no.
No.
And I was like, okay. And that was one of my first teaching experiences. So to self, don't send kids into existential crises.
Well.
And it's hard because the world's I know it's a screwed up place, but like, I never told that story about saying your name in the mirror again. Well, that was it. It was too much for her.
I mean, I can understand how doing it would send you into an existential crisis, but just hearing about the idea of doing it, that doesn't seem quite as intense, but.
I know. Well, and then the thing was, is we were talking about like the self and like how you know about the self and what the self is and having self-awareness and all this sort of stuff. And their door was right there. Like, it really didn't have to come to the window. Like, and then, bless her, because afterwards I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, of course I had her in class still. I apologized. She goes, oh, it wasn't you. And then I was like, you know, do you need, I can say this because she told me no, but I was like, you know, is there anything that I can recommend you for, like the counseling center or anything? She was like, nope, I was just having a bad day. And she was like, I'm actually pretty fine. And I was like, okay. I mean, I had to turn it into my superiors. Don't worry. I did all that stuff. Yeah. But like, I was a very overly cautious like GTA, but it was just one, she just had a bad day. It's like what those people, that girl, remember when she like, this is not comparable, but it made me think of it. The girl who shot the kids, remember, from the window, and she was having a case of, what did she say? No, I'm just having a Monday or something.
I'm having a case of the Mondays or something. Like, it's this is a normal reaction to being upset that it's Monday.
That's right. I think that was the thing. She was just like, I was having a bad day. Like, and you're climbing, like, climbing out the window of an ancient building is your response to having a bad
this
day.
This is an overreaction. You know, it also reminds me of that show Punk'd. Did you ever watch Punk'd?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the episode with Seth Green? Where,
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
So the premise was that Seth Green was at this, like, giant poker game thing. And it was apparently illegal. And so Ashton Kutcher has, like, the SWAT team come raid it. But they, like, with, like, those ropes, like, through the windows, like, crash through the windows. And, like, you know, like, a bunch of, like, SWAT, like, heavy artillery kind of SWAT people. And everyone is, like, you know, obviously everyone else is in on it except for Seth Green, which also lets... also mentioned that this could never happen now.
No.
But they're all, like, ducking under tables and stuff, and Seth Green's reaction was to say, this is really extreme. Like, in the most, like, deadpan Seth Green kind of way, he was just like, guys, you are going too far.
I think about this story, it happened in 2009, and yeah. I think back, do you realize 2009 was, like, a long time ago?
Oh, we are so old.
Speaking of old, I started watching One Tree Hill. I should say the first 15 minutes of one episode, but I will say I was concerned that this was going to start, like, why do all these teen dramas have to start with, like, someone getting hit and breaking something? Like, if you remember the first episode, there's a lot of, like, heavy braking and intense train situations. Also, I didn't know that it was set in North Carolina. Like, I know it was filmed in Wilmington, but,
set there. Yeah.
Yeah, Dawson's Creek is sort of, it's set there, but it's kind of ambiguous, I think of where it is, but, like, they're just like, no, this is North Carolina.
Yeah, One Tree Hill is very specifically in North Carolina.
And I think is the basketball court that pavilion?
Yeah, so there's the river court, which is where you were, which mm-hmm. is what you sent me pictures of, and we'll have to put up on Instagram. But the river court is not a real place. That was part of the set, so they just have that back there now. But that's where they played basketball.
Well, when you said court, I was thinking court as in, like, a royal, like, where they gathered to talk.
Oh, no. That's where they gathered to play basketball.
Yeah. Because I was like, that's the river. Yeah, there we go.
It's so also a very basketball-heavy kind of show.
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, you're going to like it. I am convinced that you are going to like it.
I know the one girl because she was a VJ for MTV.
Yep, Hillary Burton. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she seems kind of terrible right now. And then,
oh man,
I hate most of the characters at this stage.
You'll get to love them. Peyton Sawyer, Hillary Burton's character, Peyton Sawyer, it was like who I wanted to be. Like, well, the just angsty, it was a real heavy emo phase for me at that point. But
I'm getting such 90s. Like,
yeah,
I did put up a picture that my mother found of me in the, like, 1996,
yes,
when I decided to grow my bangs out. That's how I knew it was 96, because I was like, I'm going to high school, so I don't need bangs anymore. But those of you who've tried to grow them out, and mm-hmm. if you have to care, you'll know you just kind of have to swoop them until you can pin them, and then that's the whole situation.
You have those real good swoopy bangs in that picture.
Girl, I was going to high school. You can't have bangs in high school.
It's true. That is actually the thing. In my brain. I was like, I'm going into high school. I have to get rid of my bangs.
In my brain, I thought that.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, now you really could.
I'm mature now. Except for now, I still, if I didn't live in Florida, I would have bangs at this moment. But back then, I was like, no, adults don't have bangs. Bangs are for children.
But they do have a giant sunflower on their shirt from the Limited 2. I know exactly where the Limited 2 is, where that outfit came from.
Oh, that's fantastic. It was fantastic.
With those weird knee-high socks that made me look like a Catholic schoolgirl.
We're still waiting for our listeners to send in their glamour shots so that we
If we get enough, I'll show you mine. And it is something to behold. they are. So far, we haven't gotten any, and I know.
I don't think people want us to see their glamour shots.
You know what, Christy? I think people are ashamed.
It's possible.
Trust me when I say.
Trust me when I say that it's worth it for you guys to see this picture.
Oh my god! So much stuff happening. It's so much stuff. So much, and also the filters, just like the sort of with like little diamonds. Oh god, it's beautiful.
Yep.
I love this drink, and I'm drinking it way too fast.
It's really good. I'm happy about it.
Thank you again, Chris. Yes,
we really appreciate,
I mean, maybe.
We appreciate the good drink suggestions.
You guys, my husband hasn't come home yet from work, so we'll see if it was a good idea. But yeah, so I'm 15 minutes in, and there we go. We'll see how it goes.
I'm so excited. I really am.
I already called it within 1 minute of the show when they got in trouble. And I was like, his brother plays basketball. Why didn't his brother get on the team? And then I was like, I bet his brother gets on the team and he's better than everyone else. But he's like this angsty, like
the angsty poor kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to play by your rules. I want to play by the river. And I'm like, I've already figured out what the storyline is. And I truly haven't even got to that part. They haven't even said we should get him on the team yet, but I know that's what they're going to do. Like they've already, basically the thing I stopped at was when the kids got kicked off the team for being on that bus and everyone except for that one dude.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, why don't you ask the dude by the river to play on your team? And maybe all the dudes by the river to play on your team.
The River
and
then Court Kids, like, yeah.
The River Court Kids. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is going to be the story.
You're like, I think I have picked up on something.
But back then we were probably like, oh my gosh, that is incredible. That is a crazy idea. Wild and crazy. Like,
goodness. Yeah, no, it's very dramatic. Very dramatic back then.
Well, I'm like, I just ate a bug.
No.
I gotta wash it down with Jen. Oh my gosh. The South right now is just a pit. It's like an armpit. Right
it
now.
Is. It is.
Filled with bugs.
Bugs and swampy humidity and just.
And Chris, you have a flesh-eating virus that's in your water right now. I think we do too, actually. I
can't get in the ocean. Not that I was going to, but the choice has been taken away from me.
General Lee is coming for the South. Lee trying to destroy it again.
Lee is headed for you again.
Lordy. Yeah.
Guys, the South right now. Oh, but you know what is in the South?
Frickin' football. Hell yeah.
Yep.
Go Dogs. I'm so excited. So we tonight have decided to talk about theology and sports because we had our before we get into that though, I will say I think next week we do margaritas in honor of Jimmy Buffett.
Oh yeah, that's a good call. R.I.P. Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
Also the guy from Smash Mouth, whose name I can't remember at the moment.
Yes, Ken. It's Ken something.
Is it Ken or is it Steve?
Oh, shoot. Ken came quick and fast, in my brain, which made me think it was right.
Well, maybe not. Anyway, RIP to all of that.
RIP to all, and we will. I'm freaking sorry if it's not Ken.
We will have margaritas in honor of Jimmy next week, but... But yeah, college football started this weekend, and the NFL starts next week.
And who cares?
Leah and I, being such hardcore football fans, thought that this was the perfect opportunity to talk about sports and religion or sports and theology.
And one might think to themselves, maybe you're not a sports fan, and you're like, well, I don't want to listen to that. Hold on.
Yeah, don't leave us.
Go with us on the journey. Because I have heard some things like theology and like stuff that I wasn't super into, like sci-fi or, you know, video games and things like that. And it has completely changed my mind about a lot of things. So, the football season started this week. If you are in the lower states, you probably are big into your college sports. And if you're everyone else.
If you're anywhere with primarily NFL teams, our time is coming next week.
I mean, we have NFL teams. We just don't give a damn. Yeah. But, I mean, I have one in the city I live in.
You do.
And I get surprised. Like, I'll have to, like, message Christy and be like, what is happening in
for the town? Season game, she messaged me and she goes,
What is happening?
What is? I was like, oh, the Panthers are playing. It's at home, so I would avoid that area.
Well, and I was in the middle of the area, and I was like, all these people look mad and drunk, and I don't know what's happening. And I was like driving, and they were, because they lost real bad, despite having like the first round draft pick or whatever. But I don't support Charlotte in NFL. I am. In Atlanta Falcons, but also terrible teams. So, I mean, it really is. The big team for me, though, of course, is Georgia.
Yeah.
Christy, though, broke y'all. Oh, my gosh, y'all.
Look, okay, you know what?
You know what I'm going to say before I say it.
I know, and I am already on the defense because this is.
You can't even be on the defense. I'm not even on the offense yet. I haven't even said the thing.
All right,
y'all,
say the thing.
Y'all, listen to this. I came home in a UGA onesie. I'm a UGA fan no matter what freaking town I moved to. Did I know that UNC beat University of South Carolina? Whoops. Yeah, I did. That's crazy town. But I don't care that much. Hear me out. Christy said Deion Sanders or whatever.
Deion Sanders, his, yeah.
Whatever his new name, the primetime Neon Deion, whatever. Coach Neon or whatever he is. He is with Colorado now, right? Uh-huh. And there's all this hype. Oh my God, they're going to be good. Spoiler alert, they're not. They're going to be better probably than last.
Like, they beat TCU.
Sure they did. We did too by like 100.
Yeah,
it's
but
not that big.
Colorado
it's not that hard.
TCU is a very different thing than you beating TCU.
Look, Christy, I said they may not be last. That's what I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say. I'm glad for you on that one. But you and Maggie both, I'm glad for you. But here's the deal. I was chatting to her. She's got her the Ohio State for whatever reason. They put the in front of it. It's very weird.
The it's the Ohio State, but okay.
The Ohio State, yeah. And so she had her shirt on and I had my stuff on and we were ready to go. You know, new year, new battles. And she said, but if Colorado gets good, I might also support them. I almost died.
Leah could not function.
I couldn't function. She sent me another message, totally not related. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm still not over the first thing. Like, I can't
listen to you talk about anything else.
Once the team that you love leaves your mouth, that's you done. Like, that's it. You can't be bandwagoning onto every bandwagon. Just, look, he put on some freaking flashy clothes and he's Deion Sanders. Do I love Deion Sanders? Yes, I do. In, like, 1998. Like, you can't just be like, oh, this man's going to save us all. Look, it's not going to happen.
I said, if they're good, I will support them. Also,
which is exactly the words that came out of my mouth.
I did not say that I was going to, like, give up on Ohio State.
Yeah, you're just going to have two
teams. I'm just going to have two teams. And that tracks with my general obsession of Colorado. Because
oh my
I love
gosh,
all things
you
Colorado.
People.
And you, I want to just remind you, when I didn't care that the Nuggets won, you yelled at me.
Because you don't have a team that played, what was that?
Basketball
team. Basketball. You didn't have a basketball team. You can say it out loud. Okay, that's your basketball team now. That's fine. You're in the foul cabinet. You can't just be like, all of a sudden, I like the Boston Celtics. Like, that's
also
not how it works.
Look, we know that Colorado is not going to be like a highly ranked team.
Correct.
Deion Sanders believes they will because that is who Deion Sanders is.
Well,
but,
like I said, he's got a lot of good recruits because they want to come play for Deion Sanders. So yeah, I will give him that.
Yeah. And I will say, I think that, you know, generally the excitement of having him there is probably motivating the players pretty well. But like, I you know, I'm happy for Colorado. I hope that they have.
I'm sure you are, Christy. When are you unhappy for Colorado?
That's all I said.
That is not what you said. You said that you're good. Oh my God. Give me another gin and whatever whatever hellscape is in this glass. Give me that. Here's the deal. Like, I'm just kidding, Chris. I love it. I've drank half of it. If you can't tell by how crazy I'm getting. Like, I'm also getting bitten by mosquitoes like a MF-er. You can't just do that. It'd be like me being like, oh, you know, technically I was born in Tennessee, so I got to support UT. No. You don't do that. That's the weirdest thing. Oh, my gosh.
Like, I know other people who have second teams.
Are they from up north?
From up north. Yes, generally.
That's, well, there you go. You know what? I need y'all to find yourself a mirror and stare into it. And say all the teams that you support over and over again.
Well, I will say that I did not watch the entirety of the Colorado game, but I did watch all of Ohio State, which was boring and just not all that motivating of a game. It was not what I wanted out of their first week. So
who did they play?
Indiana.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, they won, obviously, but like not by a lot. And they just kind of played with this like lackluster. It was so dull. I was disappointed in general.
I think we had like our second string in, and we went through all the quarterbacks.
Leah's team won by so much that they just decided to play everybody.
They did. Meanwhile,
she's texting me about, like, the whole time she's texting me about how terrible they're playing. And
how terrible
a certain person is playing.
Yeah, and which I'm not allowed to say aloud because right now it's very contentious if you say who it is.
And and I'm getting all, and I'm like, you're winning by a million points. What?
We're playing UT Martin. That's fair. If I challenge anyone listening to think of where Martin is,
I don't know. I have no idea.
I know. That's the point.
Also, UT like Tennessee or Texas?
No, Tennessee.
Okay. I don't know. Y'all have Texas in there now?
Oh, don't. We have Texas A&M, which has Texas in their name. And then, yeah, we have those other teams that for some reason have decided to leave their conference.
Yeah.
And come to
ours.
To make shit tons of money. It's fine. We can do that. It's okay.
Okay, but
at least it's Oklahoma and Texas and not like
Colorado.
Honestly, I don't think Colorado. I would take Colorado over Texas. I fear, you know, my feelings on Texas. I fear Texas.
I mean, I agree with you on those feelings. They're correct feelings for Texas.
If given the right conference, Texas is. I've seen Friday Night Lights. I don't want that in my life. I've seen it and I believe it.
And I love it. And, you know, mm-hmm. Texas forever, if we're talking specifically about Friday Night Lights. But
oh, God, here's Christy's third team, you guys.
The fictional Dillon Panthers. Yes, they are.
So if a few years back, I wrote a article on religion and football/soccer for you Americans, and in Scotland, which we both were in for a while, football is actually really contentious in a way that I don't think Americans quite understand.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of like weird history and religious history that's wrapped up into it.
Well, and I think because we have rivalries, we think we understand it, but it is so much more intense, and it's a much deeper kind of rooted rivalry or contention. Yeah,
Christy and I we support different teams, and I've yet to yell a religious slur at her.
And like, I have a whole song about night liking the state of Michigan. But like, my best friend is from Michigan, so it's not actually a problem.
Well, you don't have a song about swimming in the blood of your opponent.
No, I don't. No.
So it's very intense. And so I wrote the article about this idea of, and Tripp and I talked a little, like a very briefly about this on Homebrew Christianity, but it was like Peter Berger wrote a book called The Sacred Canopy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot about that idea and how essentially what Berger says is that if we, this is a very, very basic thing. His works are actually quite hard to read. So this is definitely like the Cliff's note version.
Yeah.
But it was this idea that like essentially humans need something to get, I mean, you've heard my gen infused excitement about Georgia, but they need something to get excited about or to believe in or to feel safety from.
Yeah.
That's the canopy part, the thing that's going to like save you. And in light of there not being perhaps a real devotion to religion, that will get replaced by other things,
mm-hmm.
and things like sports or, you know, music concerts or, you know, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Like it could be work, you know, that could be it, you know, whatever your thing is. And when compounded in that world of like, this is the thing I live and breathe for, which if you know anything about Ted Lasso and about European football, it becomes this kind of lifestyle. Okay. Like, you know, instead of going to church on Sunday, they get up and they go to the games.
Yeah.
You know, my husband's from Aberdeen and they went every week to the games. Yeah. That was their thing. It makes it more intense, the sort of reactions to things, mm-hmm. and that's wins and losses and just anything really. And I didn't experience it too much until I went to the games, and some of the stuff I heard was really horrific.
Yeah.
And I've talked about it a little bit in terms of Christian nationalism and also just like how we replace this desire for something outside of ourselves to be passionate about that oftentimes we associate with religion. We replace it and then it becomes almost like a religion.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, when I go to a Georgia game, I'm singing, I'm sitting, I'm standing,
yeah.
I'm praying, I'm angry, I'm excited, I'm overjoyed. Like the elation that I get mm-hmm. is kind of concerning sometimes to me. Like it really is. And like, you know, you almost think there, and much probably like Christy, like there's not, once you do actually pick a team, there's not much you can do about those feelings. Like
yeah.
if you really are devoted to that team. And like, so anyway, I just thought it was an interesting sort of thing there because the Scottish context anyway is like, because it's become so important, it's actually started to represent divides, especially between Catholics and Protestants
yeah.
in Scotland. And there's been a long history of like, you know, fighting between, and there's, you know, it's geography, it's colonialism, it's everything else. But in some ways, this sport has come to represent that fight.
yeah. Well, and you know, you talked about it, and I know we've talked about it in relationship to that sectarianism that happens within Scottish football clubs, like in Glasgow with the Rangers and the Celtics, and the violence that happens every time they play each other, which is actual violence, not just kind of like picking, you know, fights in the stadium or something, but the kind of ways that Glasgow has had to deal with that and the regulations around wearing your football team colors and stuff like that. And certainly we have it to some extent here in the States, but I think that it is in a kind of growing sense, especially because of people's need to identify with a community and need to identify mm-hmm. with something that's bigger. And especially as we separate ourselves and our identities from religions, we find it in other things, and it can be sports. And I know you and I both talk about this when we introduce religious studies.
Oh yeah.
And that article, is religion losing ground to sports, I think is in the Washington Post.
Pittsburgh Gazette, I think maybe we're talking about different ones.
Well, I think that's what it's called. Anyway, talks about the kind of, we'll link it in the Instagram post so you guys can have an actual name for it. But it talks about the the extreme similarities. Like you said, you're standing up and sitting down and you're singing things, and we have chants. We have ways of greeting each other, you know, like you know how to greet another Georgia fan when you see them on the
Go street. Dogs.
Yep. Even if you don't know that person, I know how to do it with Ohio State fans, yellow OH. It happened to me on Saturday. I was out at a market and this man yelled out OH and I yelled out IO and like, I don't know him, you know, but
they have trouble spelling in Ohio.
The dog is trying to bury her food in the couch. If you can hear the,
I can't.
The loud.
I'm surrounded by angry like monster zombie crickets.
It's fine. Right. But like it gives you that sense of community and identity that people are missing from those religious spaces. And then you also have like a thing to feel sacred about, you know.
And people say, do you go ahead.
People who you see as sacred people, like you're, you know, I don't know who you would count for Georgia, but like for the Broncos, it's people like John Elway or Pat Bowlen. These are.
Well, we counted someone, which we unfortunately decided to go into politics.
Oh, yeah. So he's lost that. But
he's lost that. But Vince Dooley, we do have.
Yeah.
Have,
you know, like there's people or there's even it's a fan. He was the barrel man. Everyone knows there's a symbol for the barrel man. These people who've been elevated to those spaces and then like rituals or sacred objects sometimes are associated with the sports, but you see so much of the similarities and the ways that we are using sports to fill that void often. I think it also extends over into other things, like you said, like music, fandoms, book fandoms or what have you. You can see some of it there too, but it's definitely much more intense and much more, I think, clearly demonstrated when we're looking at sports and how sports operate in Western
Yeah, there's
society.
Just the same sort of symbol. And you realize that part of the thing that, you know, people are like, well, people can live without religion. And I would agree with that. They can. But what I will say is that people, I don't think, can live without community to some degree. Or maybe won't thrive.
Yeah.
And they want to. They also maybe want to think of something outside of themselves to hope for.
Yep. I think it's important that we have ways of bonding with other people. And it's important that we have a bigger goal that we have for ourselves or for people around us. And this is usually associated with some kind of championship, you know?
Like the two that we won back to back.
Or, you know, the two Super Bowls that the Broncos won back-to-back.
What was that in, like, 1985?
It was in 1998 and 99.
Oh, that feels like a long time ago.
But also we won in 2015, and that's when.
Oh, that's nice for you.
Yeah, so, you know.
That's almost a decade ago.
You know what?
So
you
cool.
can, was it? Was it? Oh, God, that was so long ago.
It was. Remember when I said that happened in 2009? So. I think my liability is over now for that story.
But yeah, I think, you know, it's a really interesting way of looking at how, like you said, people can live without religion, but there's something else that has to replace some aspects of religion.
Because it's more of a social sort of like when we're not talking about like one's personal relationship with a divine thing, but like the social aspect, yeah. Which is oft overlooked.
Yes. And I think that especially when we have people saying things like that they're spiritual but not religious, or that your religion is a relationship instead of a religion or something, the things that they're also forgetting are those aspects of community and ritual. Ritual is something that humans really need and thrive off of.
Yeah.
And we just replace those things in other areas, even as we think, oh, well, my religion or my religious beliefs aren't part of these organized spaces, but you're still going to have something that looks like that somewhere.
I have a couple questions. Yeah. One is, do you think it's a positive and negative or negative? And the third one is, do you think that some people are immune to even, you know, whatever version of this we're talking about? Do you think some people just don't need that community?
Okay.
Professor, I have a question.
Yes. Well, for me, I think that it can be a positive and it can be a negative. I think that it's really dependent. I think we've obviously seen areas where it was negative in terms of kind of giving us new ways to hate people, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's always going to be a negative. But I think that it can also be a positive. I have had a lot of great times and I've met people through these experiences, and like, it's a nice way of connecting with strangers out on the street, you know? Mm-hmm. It was a moment when I was at the market and I had this moment with that man. It was a moment of like acknowledging that we're two humans that have a connection, even though we don't know each other, you know? And I think that's always positive. And I don't think that people can like healthily live without that kind of community.
I agree.
I think that people who try to live without that community are doing so like in detriment to themselves.
Yeah. Cause even if you're like an introvert that stays in your room, you probably have some sort of,
yeah,
like community, like maybe online or,
yeah,
that you're,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah. I think we need that. And I think that people who are genuinely isolated have demonstrated negative characteristics from it.
Yeah. I mean, just go to Reddit and look up incel.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And I think too, that lack of community and good community spaces for people has just created more people who are hurt by lack of community. Like you said, like go to Reddit, find those people, go to those websites, those other, I don't even know what they're called, but where you start seeing people who are reaching out for community, but they're doing it in really bad ways.
Yeah. I've had to dig into that with the bad theology, because one of my categories for bad theology is being isolated from and only being surrounded by people who like affirm your position.
Yep.
Which we are all, I'm just talking about being a Georgia fan, especially in sports, we're all absolutely drawn to people who like the things we like.
Yeah.
That's a part of human connection. But the idea that you don't ever hear anything outside of your bubble.
Right.
Can sometimes be worrying. And like, whilst I will never support Ohio State, I appreciate Christy's love of it.
Yeah. And same, like I would say,
so she's my friend until she starts supporting Colorado and she's not my friend.
Then the friendship in this podcast are over.
And I'm sorry. There's many times where we're like, if this happens,
it's done. No, I mean, that's the thing is like, it wasn't so much last year because of reasons, but the first year y'all won the championship, I was really happy for you because you're my friend, you know?
Oh, thank you. What was the reasons? Was it because we beat you? Because you shanked a field goal?
Because we shanked a field goal so badly. I cried and it's fine.
And it was at the actual stroke of midnight on the
East
Coast. It should be.
Not the most upsetting. The people at that party with me wouldn't speak to me for a very long time.
We watched it and we were like, oh, they're going to win. And then there was.
We
like,
were
oh
going to win.
You were. Like you were one pretty straightforward field goal away. And the dude was like, I've suddenly forgot about field golding.
It's just I've suddenly forgotten how to use my kicking leg.
I remember watching it and I was like, ooh.
It was so painful. But that's the thing is like, you can, I don't support Georgia, but I was happy for you the first year.
You are happy for me the second year.
I was not happy for you the second year.
We beat Michigan. Are you happy?
You beat Michigan, not in the final game though. You beat TCU.
Well, I mean, we still.
So the pain had already happened.
Beat them. Well, we still beat them.
Like every time,
Christy, we did that. Michigan, we did that for you.
Anytime anyone beats Michigan, I am happy and I rejoice. But you hadn't yet beat us when you beat Michigan.
That's true.
So, like, I was happy, but then I hated it.
Well, you really, I mean, I don't want to tell you where to direct your hate, but on that one.
I mean, don't worry. There's it. The hate's directed in many places.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, we both were all dressed up and went to this like actual party with like 20-year-olds, and that it was a.
And by all dressed up, she means like fancy dress, not in Georgia stuff.
Like, oh yeah, yeah. We were. Oh yeah, right. Yeah, we were dressed up like flappers from the 30s or something. It was some sort of thing. We just sat in front of that damn TV the whole night. And then when it hit midnight and everyone was counting down and going insane, and that ball just went boop, I was like, it was a religious experience.
I can imagine for you.
I was like, ah!
I made them turn that game on at the party I was at. Like they were not planning on having the game on. I was like, I need this to happen.
Didn't you walk to the kitchen and get like a shot of
no so it happened I sat on the floor in kind of like a balled up position for a bit, and then when I finally did walk back into the kitchen where people were, the host just handed me a bottle of scotch.
Oh, that was that. Yeah.
just like silently handed it to me, and I said thank you, and I sat down with it. Poured some into my glass.
The losses are so deep.
They're so deep. It's so hard. Well, okay, so similarly, at this market I was at, they had a bunch of old Denver Broncos pennants, the little triangular shaped things. And they had a whole bunch of them, but one of them was, it said Super Bowl champions, 1988, Super Bowl 22. And I stood there staring at it for solid minutes because we lost that game.
Oh no.
I remember it distinctly. I was a small, small child, but my parents had a party, and it was we were playing the Washington, their previous name, the Redskins. We were playing them, and I was with the other kids in a different room. Cause like, I mean, I was like four, I was really little. And I loved John Elway. And so we were like sneaking, and we walked in when the game ended, and like the just absolute despair and devastation that was on my dad's face that day when we lost, like I remember it so vividly. And so I'm standing there staring at this pennant that's wrong, and I was so mad about it. It was like it was happening all over again. I was just like, but we lost that game. Why is this here taunting me?
I have a theory about your pennant.
What is your theory?
It's probably one that you have as well, but they make them both.
Oh yeah, that's probably what it was. I just can't believe it's like out in the wild, you know?
Yeah, you should have bought it. It's probably pretty rare.
I would imagine. I don't know. I couldn't do it. I was so mad. I did.
But also, it's fundamentally wrong.
It's just fundamentally wrong. I did buy two other pennants though, so it didn't like walk away empty handed.
Well, there you go. It's like your crucifix, except
it's but yeah, it is. It's, you have these religious experiences, you get very sentimentally attached. We have stories and legends and songs and
the, you talk about the sacred objects. I remember one of the biggest controversies a couple years ago was South Carolina ran through our hedges. Our hedges are sacred. Oh. Like they're just hedges.
Yeah.
They're not inherently
right, but
they're not inherently divine.
But South Carolina ran through them.
They kind of destroyed them.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my god. That's terrible.
And so, well,
that's bad sports.
Well, they don't win a lot. So,
so you'll give them a pass.
So that's okay, I guess. I mean, to be fair, we didn't. Well, we've always won a decent amount. We were like, so I support Arsenal in soccer. Sorry if that disappoints people, but that Georgia was kind of the Arsenal of football, which was, we were always like a solid four or five. for like 40 years.
Yeah.
We were never one. And that's kind of how Arsenal was. They're not that way anymore. But that's how they were. But I think it is, you know, we talk about this stuff and I think it's, you know, it is, there was that article that I think I gave you that I was talking about earlier about Pittsburgh and
mm-hmm.
that guy who was like a super Steelers fan was like, some people go to Pittsburgh or yes. some people go to Jerusalem. I go to Pittsburgh. Yes.
Oh yeah. I think that's part of the hit. I think it has like a colon in the title.
Yeah.
But yeah. I go to Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was one of those things where it was like, you know, I don't think the church has always been amazingly good at shifting in terms of how the world is moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's always been amazing at keeping a finger on the pulse. It just always keeps wanting to look. And this is I'm a minister, but it's like, you know, whenever I was doing full-time parish work, it was like, well, we got to get people back. We used to have blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, we don't have that anymore. And why do we not? Well, you know, maybe if we change the music, maybe if we do this. And it's like, no, there's something bigger that needs to change.
And yeah.
It's living in that. And you need to look around and see what people are, you know, doing. Like this one church that I recently preached at has a service where you can bring your dog.
Yeah.
And like, it's it's an outside and they project it on a screen. Right. And like, people may look at that and be like, oh my God, that's so like, it's like having a smoothie machine in the sanctuary. And it's like, no, you know, what it's doing is it's saying you being a part of our community is important. And we also know that you live in a city and you have dogs and maybe not kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think too, it's honoring what's important to some people. Like the church that I attended in Glasgow had a day where they would bless your pets. You could come in.
Oh yeah.
Which I know is part of the liturgical calendar, but not every church actually does it. And I remember being really sad that I didn't have a pet to bring in because I was so like,
aww.
Like I would have loved to have brought Lizzie in, my previous dog, and had that for her, you know, that would have been really honoring and touching for me. But I do think, like you said, it's also addressing the concerns and the needs of the community that's actually happening, which are not things like music, but instead are things like, how do we deal with social issues and how do we deal with like appropriately teaching the congregation theology and having harder conversations than just the kind of seeker friendly stuff that happens in a lot of churches or
I think too it's like when he was saying some people go to Jerusalem, I go to Pittsburgh, I don't think he was being insulting.
No,
I think he was actually just saying like that's how much that place as a sacred sort of geography area means to people. This means that much to me.
Yeah. Like you were saying about going to the soccer matches every week. When I was growing up, my dad is an OG Denver Broncos fan, and he got season tickets as soon as they had a team in Denver. So he had season tickets for a really long time. And from my first Denver Broncos game, I was 3 months old. And then we went to every single home game until we moved when I was 10. And so I genuinely didn't know that church still happened during football season. I thought they canceled it during football season because we never went to church when football games were on.
Well, see, that's why us down here who love the Lord, we have our games on the Saturday.
Maybe that's why it's so much more collegey down here. You can do both.
you need to know where your priorities lie.
But yeah, I mean, I remember so many things about going to those games with my parents when I was little and the stuff that I was being so excited about, you know, again, the rituals and the community. And I really treasure all of that.
And was your dad, so even if we traveled, God forbid you had a wedding. That was a big thing. Weddings were always on Saturday. And if you know, you don't have a wedding down here on a Saturday that a game's on.
Mm-hmm.
Was your dad in like a terrible mood? My dad used, because there used to be, the radio, you could hear it on the radio, and so my dad would turn it on, but he would be in the worst mood if they lost.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Do you know, my dad actually brought, he had like a pair of, because again, I'm born in 1983. My first Broncos game was also John Elway's first Broncos game. So
I think you like him.
I loved him so much. I mean, we've had a rough go of it lately, and we're back and forth on our relationship. But my dad would wear, he had this pair of headphones that had a little radio in it, and he would wear it at the game so he could listen to the Denver Broncos radio while we were at the game. Because he wanted to still get all that commentary. And like,
that's amazing. Yeah. Well, like, I think my dad, because Larry Munson was the guy that was the radio person for our, and he's like a legend in Georgia. Yeah. But like, he would get so free. We got to put these up on the Instagram as well, because they sound, you know what? They sound like preachers, actually.
They do. That's the thing is, like, again, it's so much, there's so much crossover that, I think it's really helpful way of also of really understanding what we're talking about when we do religious studies. It's a good way to intro some of that stuff. But like, what are the things that we're looking for? What are the things that we need? And sports gives a lot of those things to people. So
they do. And I think they've tapped into all the different aspects that mm-hmm. church used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In order to get people excited. Like
yeah.
when you hear Larry Munson do his commentary, he's like, he's at the 10, he's at the 10.
Oh gosh,
oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. You know, and it's like a fire and brimstone
preacher. Yeah. You know?
And I have to think he probably grew up on that too. And like,
mm-hmm.
so they see the things. And I don't know that it's conscious that they're doing it. I think actually it's just the human condition that it's like, this gets us excited.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah. Also, this is the other thing I like to ask people is, how did you pick your team?
I didn't.
Yeah. Me either. Like you were given it by your parents, you know?
Yeah. Like the Braves, the Celtics and Georgia were given to me with no
same
with nothing I
there
could
was,
do.
Yeah. To there was no choice involved in this. Like I was going to be a Denver Broncos fan. My mom is from Ohio. So we were also Ohio State fans. That is how yep. those two things work. Like there was,
but isn't that interesting? Because it's like religion. You yeah. just it's not, most times you, unless you've been like evangelized, you inherit it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and there's not really any. You're just like, well, I'm doing what
this the is only what I grew up doing.
The only team I would say that I picked was probably the Falcons because my dad cannot give two flying fluffs. I have to say, we never went to a Falcons game. Like we went to so many Braves games. It's probably the team I've been to the most games is Braves.
The Braves, but, yeah. I would say, honestly, the only teams I've been allowed to pick have been my Scotland teams. So, because I support the Thistle, which is the sad third team in Glasgow, because I didn't want to get caught up in that mess.
That's probably smart.
But then also, because here's the thing, again, because superstition comes into sports really, really heavily, and especially in hockey. So while I love and obviously support the Colorado Avalanche, I have been banned from watching Avalanche games since I was 16 years old because I am bad luck for them. And so
speaking of rituals.
Yep. Like, I mean, truly, my family kicked me out of the house the first year that they won the Stanley Cup. I was sent to a different house. They were like, you cannot be here.
Oh my God. That kind of holy superstition.
Yep. So the only hockey I'm allowed to watch that I support is the Glasgow team, the Glasgow clan.
Yeah. Aberdeen, I didn't get to pick because that was Stuart's pick.
Yeah.
I got to. And I dated an Arsenal fan. So that was my English. You usually have an English team and a Scottish team. I don't know if you have an English
team. I don't have an English team because I really only became a fan when I was in Scotland. But let me tell you, if you're going to become a fan of a Scottish football club, the Thistle are the ones to pick because they don't care.
They don't. Actually, we're going to have so many pictures on, but we have to put up the mascot.
The mascot for the Thistle, his name is
an abomination. Kingsley.
He is the greatest. I love him so much.
He is an abomination.
He's so fantastic.
He's terrifying, and it really, I do love. If I didn't support Aberdeen, I would support Partick Thistle, but because they just don't care. And when you see this mascot, because you can't care if you're in Glasgow,
you can't. Well, if you're Celtic a Thistle fan in Glasgow, you just can't care. And like going to the matches was so great. Like it's just joyous, and like who cares how the game is going? You're just having an amazing time with your fellow Thistle fans.
I know, like Mercer, where I went to Mercer, and they played Ole Miss at the weekend, and they got beat like 77-7, but they scored that one touchdown, and you would have thought
Jesus had returned.
That Jesus had returned, and it was so amazing to watch. They were so excited, and then it went downhill. But I think they were still excited for that 7 points. They were like, yeah, "We did that."
I mean, hey, it's not a shutout. That's important.
No. And I like teams that have, like, they, like, know where they stand. Yeah, they're just, like.
I appreciate those guys.
Although Mercer did beat Duke one time in, like, the Sweet 16, and it was amazing. They, like, lost immediately after that. But
do you know, every time I filled out a March Madness bracket, I have come in last place.
Every time.
Every single time.
Oh no. But you don't watch basketball.
I don't. Right? I don't watch basketball. It's,
yeah.
I like going to games. If you take me to a basketball game, I am a happy person. But I can
take you to a Hornets game.
I love going to sporting events. I'll go to anything, really, except for golf. I don't know what to do about that.
I've never been to a real golf match.
It's too quiet. I think
it's too quiet, and I don't know. Honestly, I've never been to a proper tennis match either, but those are kind of posh sports in my world. So,
you know, the greatest sport to go to a match, though, is cricket.
Oh my God.
That was sarcasm. I don't know.
I know it was. Because you know I'm going to play this for Stuart.
I know.
Guys, you should know my husband is actually tried out for the youth. The national Scottish team.
He's really good. Yeah.
Well, he was good when he was younger, and yeah. he plays now, and I thought he was good watching him. He was doing things. He was moving his body in a way that I could never move.
here's the God's honest truth is that I couldn't tell you a single fact about cricket, even though it was explained to me a million times, and I've been to matches. But
one of our social groups is very centered around the cricket club in Glasgow, west of Scotland.
West of Scotland cricket. It's long. And apparently, if you ask people who's winning, they go, it doesn't work that way.
And you're like, fundamentally.
Fundamentally disagree with this as a statement.
And I would say cricket on the rocks is just simply assumed.
Yes. That is a good time, though.
And sometimes it is some the ones like there's some in India, I think, or maybe even in Scotland. I was like going for days.
Oh yeah, they told me about the one that like they all missed their flight home or something, and oh no, days.
A lot.
It goes for days. I can't do it. It doesn't make any sense.
But Stuart's he's a bowler, so he does like the I'm gonna run and do the windy up arm thing.
Oh, okay.
And I swear, every time I watched him do it, I was like, well, that's him done. Like, that's where he dies today. I was like, how is it possible for him to move that way and at 40 and survive?
Right? I don't know. I mean, again, they tried to get me to play on some of our friends were starting a girls team, and they were like, please join us, and I could not have said no more times.
I said yes, but then I was like, I have no idea, because I played softball, but I was like, I don't know.
Like I said,
I want a glove.
I'm not outdoorsy, I'm outsidey.
We've come full circle, which feels like we can end it now because we're at 78 minutes.
Oh, jeez. So. Well, look, guys, firstly, blame this fantastic gin drink because
oh my gosh, I drank the whole thing. It's gone.
Oh, yeah. I've been done for ages. It was so good.
Me too. Me too. But it was a shocking amount of alcohol to be done as fast as we were. So if we said things, we're freaking sorry.
Also, anytime y'all want to talk sports with us, this is what you're going to get. So just remember.
Go dogs.
OH.
They can't spell. It's fine. Just leave them on their own. It's fine. They're just a bunch of O's.
just remember, no Michigan.
No Alabama.
No Alabama.
We can agree on that.
We'll agree on that. No Alabama.
But that's where it stops.
Everyone.
Peyton Manning is the worst thing that's ever happened in the world.
Peyton Manning is fantastic, and we love
him.
Have
a great hallelujah. Jesus loves you. Have a great day.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.